This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Florida residents and businesses facing months of recovery and rebuilding after hurricanes Milton and Helene. Along with state and local resources, federal aid is critical. The head of the Small Business Administration, which funds low or no-cost loans, sent a letter to congressional leaders today asking for additional funding, saying funds could run short next week. FEMA also stretched thin. Administrator Deanne Criswell on the ground in Florida says her agency can meet the immediate needs, but long-term aid unknown.
We're assessing every day how much it's drawing down on that so I can continue to work with my leadership as well as Congress as far as when we will need a supplemental. We will need one. It's just a matter of when.
Former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris on the campaign trail today. Trump in Colorado and Nevada. Harris in Arizona, where early voting began this week. Boeing announcing it's laying off 10% of its workforce, about 17,000 workers. That is the strike of union workers heads into another week. This is
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin prisons are no longer accepting donations of used books. That's because secondhand books are used to smuggle drugs behind bars. The move has its critics. A nonprofit called Wisconsin Books to Prisoners says the decision limits inmates' access to information and does nothing about other ways prisoners get a hold of drugs. More pollution from farms and livestock operations is flowing down the Mississippi River Basin than ever before. Alicia Vasto of the Iowa Environmental Council says cleanup efforts need a lot more urgency.
Without that, I think we're kind of rudderless in the ways that we're trying to address pollution in the Mississippi River and the Gulf.
Midwestern groups are pushing for a pollution quota system similar to a successful program protecting the Chesapeake Bay. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Xcel Energy is sending crews to provide hurricane relief once again. Over 100 workers are ready to go, some of them from Wisconsin, to help restore services in Florida after Hurricane Milton arrived earlier this week. Crews from Eau Claire, Menominee, Hudson, Amory, Rice Lake, and Sparta are currently in Florida getting ready to work in the Tampa area. The same crews were in Georgia last week where they repaired power lines, broken poles, and transformers, servicing over 2,000 customers, according to Xcel Energy. The La Crosse City Council dealt with two mayor-related topics last night. The first, a consideration to add a city administrator position, was tabled until next May. The measure would have created a new position to take on some of the duties of the mayor's office at a cost of just under $200,000 per year. The proposed position was supported by Mayor Mitch Reynolds. The second was to override Reynolds' veto of a $13,000 measure to help with repairs at the pump house. That vote failed. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
It's the Packers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Arizona Cardinals Sunday at noon. Green Bay rookie defensive back Javon Bullard on facing the Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray.
He's an athlete, man. A guy that can, you know, he's dangerous with his legs. A guy that can take it to the, you got to be in high account when he has the ball in his hands because he can throw it over your head and he can run past you. So just we got to be dialed into that, man. Keep him in our visuals for sure.
The Badgers play at Rutgers tomorrow, kickoff at 11 a.m. NBA, the Bucks and the Lakers last night in preseason basketball. The Lakers won 107-102. Both LeBron and Giannis played. Bobby Portis led the Bucks with 23 points.
One thing I've done my whole career is just continue to get better each and every year, no matter what nobody says. So my biggest thing this summer was get in the gym and just work. I worked every day of my life this summer. Like a madman, bro, and just want my work to show on the court.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds for tonight and a low in the upper 40s. Early clouds tomorrow, then some afternoon sun and cooler, highs in the mid-60s. Partly sunny, breezy, and a high only in the mid-50s on Sunday. Frosty weather to start off Monday and Tuesday mornings. Currently at 75 degrees.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will review the weekend happenings and look ahead as we count down towards election 2024. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. 855-752-4842. Want to send some love out, some thanks out to my friend and yours, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review. Listen to his fine program on Saturdays, 7 a.m., I'm sorry, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can listen to it anytime with the Civic Media app. Get the podcasts and the live shows. Download the podcast at your favorite store. Also, this hour, Brian Karam, he's the former White House correspondent for Playboy. He's covered every presidential administration since Reagan. He sued Trump three times successfully to keep his press pass. Spent time in jail to protect a confidential source, covered wars in the Middle East, and is the author of 7 books, the latest being Free the Press. He has a podcast as well, and his most recent article talking about Trump fatigue. He's going to join me at 5:30. Looking forward to meeting this cat. This should be a fun conversation. We'll take your calls this hour as well, 855-752-4842. Yeah. Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state. I was born in Livonia, St. Mary's, off a 5-mile road, which is only a few miles from the border of the city of Detroit. Well, Livonia, Redford Township, kind of the northwest side of Detroit City. And Trump was doing Trump. And he insulted Detroit because he's Donald Trump. As the Raw story points out, Trump took the opportunity while giving a speech at the Detroit Economic Club to bash the city of Detroit and warn that if he loses to Harris, all of America could end up looking like Detroit. I'm thinking, what, dude? So we have some sound of this. I believe Aaron doing the hard work. Let's play Trump insulting my home state.
The whole country is going to be like, you want to know the truth? It'll be like Detroit. Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president. You're going to have a mess on your hands. She destroyed San Francisco. She destroyed, along with Newsom, California. And we're not going to let her do that to this country. We're not going to let it happen.
Oh.
So.
You're in Detroit, man. As the Raw story goes on, this derogatory treatment of the second largest Midwestern city and one of the largest metropolitan areas in a swing state where he attacked it earned prompt astonishment and outrage from commentators on social media. Of course they did. Much as it did when Trump called Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a horrible city. That's the city I live in, man. I do have my horrible city, Milwaukee, Wisconsin t-shirt. I do wear it proudly because F that guy. Other folks, representatives in Detroit, Sri Thandar. I represent Detroit in Congress. Detroit is a city with a booming economy, diverse culture, and some of the best people in America. Donald Trump, keep Detroit and our people out of your mouth. We will elect Kamala Harris. Another writer, always smart to insult an important swing state. Here's one from an activist. Imagine standing in Detroit and saying, vote for me so you don't end up living like this place. And one of my favorites, Michigan State Senate Majority Whip Mallory McMorrow. As a proud elected representative of tens of thousands of Detroiters, F this guy, don't come back. And Bradley Moss, a national security attorney, opined, I wonder what it is about Detroit he doesn't like. I love Detroit. I, as mentioned, was born in Livonia. I moved away. Pa worked at General Motors, and he took a job with Kimberly Clark, and that brought our family from Redford Township to Stevensville, Wisconsin, because, of course, Kimberly Clark at the time, I think they had their world headquarters in Neenah, Wisconsin. And so Pa, you know, doing the thing, moved the family, and that's how I ended up living here. But I did go back, went to grad school, Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan, about 20, 30 miles north of the city. Got my MBA there, man, lived back there for 6 or 7 years, working, schooling, partying, going down to Detroit and having a blast. Now, Detroit's a big area, and it's in square miles is probably, if you look just the city of Detroit compared to the city of New York, it's probably about half the size of in square miles in area, but it has about a tenth of the population. So, you know, it's been devastating for Detroit. Now, Detroit, you know, talk about the glory years when the auto industry was blown up. And of course, it's still the base of the auto industry, even to this day. And it's spread out and a lot of manufacturing has gone overseas and so forth. But there obviously it's still Motown. There's a reason why they call it that. A lot of cars. And I love going back there, man. And I love the cars. And I love cars. Guys, it's one of my things. You know, I got my grandparents' 1976 baby blue Cadillac Eldorado convertible. I still have. For some reason, I'm paying storage fees. Now, I get it out every couple of weeks. Well, it's been a couple of months now. But I love to drive. And I love those cars. Just love the cars. And love going back there and driving around. And you see the different cars on the road. They're all covered up. They're covered. They're literally got, like, you know, you can't see what kind of vehicle it is. They don't want you to see. You know, they're getting it out and getting some road time. Detroit's great. Detroit was once, basically, in my impression, the center of the world, man. I mean, when the car started and Ford and all the different startups and suppliers and, man, what a town. What a town. And, of course, things change. And it got tougher. And for a while, I remember some of the jokes. Oh, you know, I'm from Detroit where the weak are killed and eaten. Those kinds of things. Yeah, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. The riots were a big thing back in the 60s. There was a lot of white flight going out to the burbs. I mean, if you look at Oakland County, Macomb County, a lot of folks, I mean, those counties are blowing up. It is a huge, huge metropolitan area outside of the proper city of Detroit. But here's the thing. People are trying. People are moving back. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit. In the city of Detroit, for the first time in God knows how many years, there's a population increase. People are moving into the city. The auto industry is reinvesting in the city. Ford Motor Company bought the train station. It's not a train station. This thing is gorgeous. It is a world-class train station, Michigan Central, and it got dilapidated. People stopped using it no longer as train station. Ford Motor Company decided that this is going to be part of their campus, for their technology campus, and they put $950 million, or are in the process thereof, of investing into this area in Detroit, Corktown and in Detroit. And this is it's gorgeous. I was literally last time I was in Michigan, because they got some great prices on the marijuana over there, just so you know. Better than Illinois. It's cheaper. And I went down to go see it with my cousin, because they put all this money into it. I saw all the pictures. So we walked around. And this place looks like it's brand new. It is gorgeous. And it's not going to be a train station, unfortunately. But it's going to be part of Ford's technology hub. They're going to do lots of things there. That's the big promise, right? But my point being, is, yeah, man, it was tough for many years in that city. And he had some bad mayors, you know. Yeah, you got some corrupt politicians and just some tough times. But the city was always fighting, always gritty. And some of the comments I've seen, you know, they don't know the people of Detroit. They are fighters, and they're resilient, and they want the same thing as everybody else. What they certainly don't want is a guy like Donald Trump rolling into Detroit and talking smack about a city that has, after all these years, and finally coming back around, you know, experiencing this renaissance with artists and young families and businesses moving into the city, into downtown and surrounding areas, and slowly fixing it up. I mean, Hell Night, man, Halloween in Detroit used to be everything's set on fire, because when you have this massive white flight and all these big, beautiful homes that were built back in the day, all of a sudden they're all stripped out of, you know, anything that was worth any value, copper and tubing or whatever you can find, those things are stripped out. Well, now, we'll set them on fire. All right, get the attitude. But it was Hell Night in Detroit was a thing. So you have these areas where there's, you know, just open fields, essentially, where the houses used to be. Well, now people are going back in and fixing what's left up, if you can. Some things are beyond repair. Something you got to raise. But the things that are there, they're trying to keep the history of it. The art community, man, lots of things going on. The museum down there, they got the people who have always been there. They got some light rail now. And if you go downtown around the Renaissance Center, I mean, I was living back there. Granted, it was, you know, in the 90s, but it was never like that. It was never like that. And now it's booming. There is a renaissance, and the pride in that city is something to behold. And I, you know, when you think about it, this was a city that literally taught the shining city on the hill. This was the center of technology and innovation back in the 20s and 30s, right? Back in the day, this was the place. And to have it fall to what it is, you know, 100 years later, look at it as now, and slowly trying to come back, because there is a sense of pride of the folks that are there. They're trying. And the companies realize that, and they're investing, and people are doing the right things. And for a guy like Donald Trump to say, well, if, you know, we let Kamala Harris and they're going to be like Detroit. Well, I would tell you, sir, we'd only be so lucky. We would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in and fixing up places and properties and housing coming around, for big corporations to now reinvest back into those communities after scattering the resources to the world. We would only be so lucky if that could happen to more communities. And for you to insult that city while you're talking to the Detroit Economic Club, and let's just be frank about it. What is he really critical about? All the black people. That's what he's saying. There is some response from the Harris campaign as well. We're going to get to that, and we're going to get to some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842. Don't F with Detroit, man. That was the dumbest thing you did. You thought calling Milwaukee a horrible city was bad? Man, don't mess with Detroit. 855-75-CIVIC.
Talk about extreme.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hi, I don't call radio stations very often.
Your calls are the best calls.
And keeping you inspired and informed is part of the Civic Media vision.
Thank you very much for broadcasting the Liz Cheney question and answer. I really appreciated that, hearing her voice. And for you to broadcast it like that was wonderful.
Listen to the Liz Cheney interview now on our website, civicmedia.us. Real news and great conversation.
Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow,
Greg Bach, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, you ever name any of your vehicles?
I have a Jeep Wrangler right now, and I named it Natural Disaster.
I've been driving Wranglers for forever here.
Right, I'll just see you guys later.
Do you duck anybody?
I've got the duck it bucket in the back.
What
I'm ready to go.
Are you talking about? Hey, where are my Honda Insights at?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Lighting some mofos up. Eminem from Detroit getting after Donald Trump. How dare you, sir? How dare you? How dare you attack the fair city of Detroit? I don't think anything that we're talking about today is high on Kamala's list. The whole country's going to be like, you don't want to know the truth? If she gets elected, the whole place is going to be like Detroit. Oh, man. We do have some sound of Vice President Harris responding to Trump talking trash about Detroit. Aaron, if you would, please, let's play that first cut. Cut one, please.
My opponent, Donald Trump, yet again, has trashed another great American city when he was in Detroit, which is just a further piece of evidence on a very long list of why he is unfit to be president of the United States.
And Aaron, you brought this to my attention. What the Harris Rapid Response Team? What would you find this next clip?
Yeah, it's the Harris Rapid Response Team. Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project retweeted it, and I saw it about an hour after it came out, and just thought, wow, they nailed this one.
All right, let's play it for the people. Aaron, doing all the hard work. Thank you, sir.
They said we were dead.
Detroit waving the white flag, the city filing for bankruptcy.
That our best days were behind us. That living here is like
living in hell.
But you know what we said? We said, f*** that. We rebuilt ourselves. We look out for each other. Got our hands dirty and put in the hard work. And this guy, he don't know anything about that. We are a city of winners, of up-and-comers, of builders. The Motor City. Bigger and better. Here, we believe in freedom. We don't bow down to nobody, and we never will. And so what Donald Trump doesn't understand or care to learn is that when he said,
our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president,
that he should be so damn lucky.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Oh, man, that tugs at my heartstrings. Well done. Well done, Harris team, sticking it. What an ass. Who talks like that? I mean, you're literally in front of the very people you're insulting. And how can you? I mean, conservatives. I know there's some conservatives that were sitting in, some megs that were sitting in that Detroit Economic Club speech. And he's talking to you. He's insulting you and your efforts and your family and your city. that is experiencing a renaissance that has been 100 years in the making. 855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown has some comments. Annie, welcome. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
I just heard something that was really good about racism enabling good old utopian neighborhood to be changed by the racism changed the people's attitudes. But really, I want to talk, there's two things, how the wealthy sucked the wealth out of Detroit. First of all, Detroit started failing. They were selling off everything from museums and art galleries. The wealthy made out really well. Also, Hell Night. Hell Night gave landlords who owned buildings that they did not maintain and did not want to maintain, they hired people to burn them down. And Hell Night was the perfect opportunity for that.
I mean, I'm not clear on the actual specific arson of the landlords. I certainly wouldn't doubt it. There's an opportunity, I mean, chaos like that, of burning down the homes. And it's really sad, too, because those homes, you look at them, I mean, they are beautiful. And they're just trash. There's nothing left to them. They're shells of what they were. It's been a tough. And I think the Harris response is right, man. How dare you? And they're making the effort, and they're coming back, and they actually had population growth. That's a big deal. And it is difficult. I mean, again, think about that. A city half the size of New York with one-tenth of the population spread out all over. You know, how do you deliver services to folks and deal with emergencies when you're that spread out and that thin? And, of course, the tax base is lowered as well because everybody fled to the suburbs back in the 60s and 70s. And, oh, yeah, don't forget, the Lions, man. My Lions, they won the North Division last year. The Tigers are fighting for their baseball lives. I think their game 5 against Cleveland is tomorrow. So you don't mess with the team, man. The memory of the greatness is still there. This isn't a small town that, you know, is trying to get there. This is a city that was great and is trying to get back to its former glory. And that's a different mentality than first getting to be great. You were great once. Now we're fighting to get it back. And you have a guy like that come in and just crapping all over the city. Just all over the city. And what? If Harris gets elected, then everything's going to be like Detroit because Detroit sucks and has, he didn't say it, but I'll say it for you, Trump, all the black people. 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Well, how about Bargain Blocks, the show on TV? You've seen it?
Nope.
Correct? Oh.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
That are refurbished. They're refurbishing homes in Detroit all over, probably done 40, 50 of them. It's cool. And they're in these little bungalows, mainly abandoned houses, just junk.
Yeah.
And then turning them into just, you got to watch the show. It's great. But, Bob Seger, too. Hello. And
Bob Seger, Glenn Fry, man, Motown. I mean, are you kidding me?
Hey.
Eminem? But don't forget, we also got Kid Rock and Ted Nugent, so it kind of balances some of that out.
But, and you're too young for this. Go Google it. He was their Dick Butkus, Mike Lucci. That was just this nasty linebacker for the Lions. He'd tear your head off and oops in your hole.
Thank you. Yeah, man. Yeah, can't forget the MC5. Maybe we'll play some MC5. Oh, goodness. Thank you for the call, Dick. Great to hear from you. Folks, stick around. Coming up next, Brian Karam. He's from Salon. He was a White House correspondent with Playboy magazine. He's sued Trump 3 times to keep his press credentials. He's got a storied history. And he wrote an article in Salon recently talking about the Trump fatigue. He will join us next. In my back, bro. Like abracadabra. Hey, for my last trick. Oof, just like that in my back, bro.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Health insurance premiums have gone up under Obamacare since 2010, but what about claims they've doubled? Here's Tricia Young.
In September, Robert Kennedy Jr. made the claim that Obamacare caused insurance premiums to go up 100%. But average annual health insurance premiums have increased by only 67% to 75% since Obamacare became law in 2010. Premium increases were actually higher before Obamacare, with rates rising over 130% for single and family coverage between 1999 and 2010. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Candlelight hikes return to Wisconsin state parks for 4 weeks starting this weekend. Most events include pumpkin carving, campfires, and more. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Vernon Memorial Healthcare in Viroqua is set to receive a multi-million dollar grant to get its own MRI machine. The $2 million grant will allow the hospital to put an MRI indoors. Currently, patients have to go outside to an MRI truck for scans, which is only available 2 days per week. The grant will reduce wait times and provide better care, according to a statement by Vernon Memorial. The grant is through Wisconsin's non-state grant program, which distributed $50 million across 50 projects statewide. Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz is coming to Wisconsin on Monday. Walz will first appear at an event in Eau Claire before traveling to Green Bay. Walz was in Eau Claire in August. For his Eau Claire visit, the Harris-Walz campaign said that Walz will speak directly to voters with no other details available. It's the latest of several stops by candidates from both parties in the past 2 months in Wisconsin. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump was in Dodge County earlier this week. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been 30 years since the film Speed was released. In honor of the milestone, Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock reunited in Los Angeles at the Egyptian Theater for an anniversary screening. The film made Bullock a star. She was joined after the screening by Reeves for a Q&A. Reeves talked about working with Dennis Hopper and of the professionalism shown by Jeff Daniels, and at one point said, "We knew we were making something wacky." I guess that means he's proud of the film. If you're feeling nostalgic and aren't into Halloween movies, check out the re-release of The Nightmare Before Christmas, which actually might remind you of Halloween. The film hits theaters this weekend for a limited run. The Tim Burton film was originally released in 1993. The stop animation film will be playing on over 1,000 screens across America this weekend. The film received a 95% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes and a 92% with audiences. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds for tonight and a low in the upper 40s. Early clouds tomorrow, then some afternoon sun and cooler, highs in the mid-60s. Partly sunny, breezy, and a high only in the mid-50s on Sunday. Frosty weather to start off Monday and Tuesday mornings. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Will White Schoolhouse, behind us, the birthplace of the Republican Party, executive director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand. And really, ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, the group Veterans for Responsible Leadership weighs in on what vets should be thinking about before casting a ballot next month.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Kick out the jams, brothers and sisters!
Hey, And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you right now our fair audience, Brian Karam. He's a columnist with Salon.com, a former senior White House correspondent for Playboy, covered every presidential administration since Reagan, sued Trump 3 times to keep his press pass, spent time in jail to protect a confidential source, covered wars in the Middle East, author of 7 books, the latest being Free the Press. Brian, welcome to the show, man.
Well, glad to be here. And can I just say one thing? As a longtime listener, first-time caller, go Pack, go.
All right. Love it. Sucking up to the host. You're going to get an A for sure.
I'm a Packer fan since the 60s.
Really? All right.
My dad and Vince Lombardi and my grandfather all knew each other and helped one of the guys who worked in my grandfather's meat market to get to Notre Dame and then to Green Bay. And you know him as Paul Hornan.
Oh, no kidding. That's fantastic. Where's home? Where would you go to? Where's high school for you, Brian?
Louisville, Kentucky, a fine, friendly city.
And how was being a Packer fan growing up down in Kentucky?
Well, I mean, we didn't have a team back then, and, you know, they brought the Bengals in later. So, you know, there was nobody around when I was growing up, unless you were going to be a Chicago Bears fan. And, well, we just couldn't do that.
Totally, totally understandable, Brian. Appreciate that. Before we get into this most recent Salon piece you had, I was just curious about your time as a correspondent for Playboy. And, you know, the old adage, the joke, no, mom and dad, I only read it for the articles. I never read it for the articles. Brian, you wrote articles. What was that experience like?
Well, I'm the excuse people gave for buying Playboy magazine.
Well, they'll be on your headstone, man.
The articles are great. James Bond was born in there. The civil rights was reported on heavily. Some of the best, you know, Hunter Thompson was in there. William F. Buckley. I mean, quite a, you know, a panoply of people that are, I would consider heavyweights, wrote for Playboy. So when I got to write for Playboy, I was very happy about that. You know, then of course I was the last man standing when they closed it. Gee, I got here just in time for the lights to go out.
But your efforts then with Donald Trump and it being you sued Trump and won. I mean, usually Trump's the one filing the lawsuits 3 times. Yeah. What were the circumstances of those lawsuits?
Well, he tried to take away my press pass, and he and I had very contentious relationship when he was in the White House. I infamously started chopper talk with that guy because he reminded me of Rodney Dangerfield coming out of the White House. And I said, it's a tough room, isn't it, Mr. President? He goes, hey, boy, what do you got? What do you got? And so then he stopped and then he would tell me to sit down. He got pissed off when I'd ask him questions, make faces, call me fake media. Yeah. So he had a press conference or a press briefing in the Rose Garden. And I asked him to stick around and it was for his friends in media, but those friends that were media it was in social media. And so the rest of us were sitting around just trying to ask him questions. At the end, he walked off. And the fish oil salesman guy with a bad limp, the gimpy guy, I said, we can talk here. We can go outside and talk all day long. And so for that, they yanked my press pass. And that lasted for about 3 days. We appealed in court. We won. Then it went to the appeals court. We won there. And it went to the greater appeals court, federal appeals, federal circuit. And we won there. It was on the way to the Supreme Court when he lost and claimed he never did. He got real angry with me because I kept saying, if you're the law and order president, why do you keep breaking the law?
fair question, Brian. I mean, this seems like a no-brainer, right?
You would think. And then he got upset when I said, what are you going to admit that you lost the election? he didn't want to do. And famously, 6 weeks before the election, I asked him before. This is the question that was replayed at his second impeachment hearing. I asked him if he would accept a peaceful transfer of power. And he said, if you quit counting the votes, there won't be one. So we knew 6 weeks before the election occurred. He was that January 6th was in the offing.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, he was a fun guy. Let me tell you.
Come to DC, will be wild. Brian Karam, columnist with Salon.com. We'll get to that piece. The other note, the went to jail, man, to protect a confidential source. How very pressy of you, Brian. How'd that go down?
Four times. I had a confidential source in a murder case in San Antonio in the late 80s, early 90s, right around the time of the Gulf War. I wouldn't give up my source. They did put me in jail overnight three times. And the last time it was for about 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks, before it went to the Supreme Court. And famously only Thurgood Marshall and Brennan, voted to keep, you know, let me out to continue the, appeal. And everybody else said, yeah, to hell with him. He can stay in jail. So then my source by then had moved away. She was feared for her life. She had moved away from Texas into Los Angeles. And when she got there, she came forward of her own volition and I was absolved of any, but yeah, I wasn't going to tell him and I didn't.
Yeah. No, good for you, Brian. Love to hear that. You know, I don't know what the book is about, the Free the Press. Maybe we can get there, but I want to get your sense. I mean, I've only been doing this for on the radio like 13 years and, you know, paying attention for a little bit longer than that. But what I'm seeing in the press these days, I'm talking about like New York Times, you know, the legacy traditional media is being described as the same washing. What's your assessment of how the media is performing, at least in this presidential election?
We haven't performed well for a while, and I blame the government for it. It started with Ronald Reagan with the end of the he ended all kinds of guardrails and
fairness doctrine,
including the fairness doctrine. But he also got rid of, he allowed multiple ownership. You used to only be able to own one or two different properties. Now you've got, you know, the Alden Group, I call them a vulture capital group, who owns several hundred newspapers. The problem is there are twice the number of people on this planet as on the day I was born. There's a quarter of a number of reporters. When I got into this business, 80% of what you see, read, or hear was owned by a couple of dozen companies. Today, 90% of what you see, read, or hear is owned by six companies. So if you own a, the place I wanted to work at my entire life was a place called the Courier Journal in Louisville Times in my own town.
Yeah.
Great regional newspaper, had 12 people that covered state politics, had a dozen people covering national politics, had bureaus in Moscow and London and elsewhere. Just a great, voted one of the top 10 newspapers year after year. So the owner of it dies, the heirs fight over it, and they sell it off to Gannett. What does Gannett do? Well, Gannett has hundreds of papers. What do we need somebody? What do we need another bureau in D.C. for? What do we need all these people? So they cut costs. And so you have fewer reporters. And what has become of journalism is that we're not in the business anymore of giving you vetted factual information, but to feed you, right, clickbait that you want to read that entertains you and keeps you in your own safe space of what you, we're reinforcing what you believe instead of telling you what you need to know. And we're only doing it for money. And the government created the problem by breaking down all the barriers. It started with Ronald Reagan, but every president, and I mean every president since then, has contributed to the problem. The greatest problems came with the Patriot Act and, of course, the Telecommunications Act. And of course, Ronald Reagan, but they all contributed to it. And of course, Donald Trump was the absolute worst. But every president, including the current one, has created this problem, and it bothers me to no end. And that's what the book is about, is talking about how we can break up media monopolies, get a diversity of ownership. It was Ben Bagdikian, who was a mentor of mine at the Washington Post, has said, if you really want to have diversity in media, you have to have a diversity of ownership and diversity of representation and a diversity of reporters. And we don't have that. So what you see in legacy, I call it corporate media, it's a pale shadow of its former self. And people don't like to hear that in my business. And so, you know, when I go on CNN or MSNBC, they go, don't talk about that. Well, that's the only thing I'm going to talk about, because it's the problem and we got to address it. And we don't. And so here's one, Dom, you'll love it. So you're sitting there in the green room, right, at CNN or wherever else, and you're talking with some of the people who are on the far right. Let's say, Kellyanne Conway, for example, back in the day when she was defending Dan Quayle. I was in a break. She started talking. Oh, yeah, Dan Quayle's an idiot, blah, blah, blah. I can't stand him. We get on the air, and she starts defending him. And I go, well, wait a minute. In a break, you were saying that you didn't like him. And then, you don't get to. So it's all an act. Everything is just an act, and people buy into it. That's the danger. That's why today you have people threatening meteorologists who are simply forecasting the weather and telling people to be safe from a hurricane. And people are going, that false flag. It's all the government's out to get us. And I'm going, you people are just lunatics, bat guano nuts. There,
and it's not getting
for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Brian Karam, columnist at thesalon.com. Before we run out of time here, let's talk about the Trump fatigue. Post-election disruption plan suggests the pressure is getting too mega. And I think you're absolutely right. You see how Donald Trump, his speech is evolving. It's getting darker. He's getting meaner. He's getting more vitriolic.
And that's not just his makeup.
It's not. I mean, it feels like to me that he knows he's getting pushed and pushed and pushed into a corner. And I think it's getting worse and worse and worse. What's your take, Brian?
Well, I think people are tired of Donald Trump. I think people are tired of, but I think a majority of people never liked Donald Trump. But you listen to his trolls on, you know, social media, they'll convince you otherwise. But I know of dozens that I've interviewed, people who said, look, I voted for him the first and second. I'm not voting for him anymore. Can't vote for him. But they're not going to let their friends know that. They're going to continue to say they support him because they've lost all their friends who weren't MAGA members. Now they're afraid they'll lose their church friends if they come out and say, I don't like Donald Trump. No. But the fact of them, and I don't know how, but that's anecdotal. I know Joe Walsh, not the guitar player, but the guy who ran against Trump, has said that as well, that he's run across it. I don't know how big a deal that is. But I think that I see as I travel around the country that people are getting tired of Trump. And I just have one question. What took you so long? Jesus. If you're on this fence about this election, wow. You took the wrong acid at Woodstock.
Brian Karam, you've covered every administration since Reagan. What was your take when President Joe Biden bowed out of this election, passed the torch to Harris, and then the reaction of the electorate?
Well, first of all, he did it after George Clooney wrote and said he was a friend and wrote a piece in the New York Times. And I just want to say, with friends like George, I don't need any enemies. Listen, thanks, George. A friend would tell me this in private. Not blasted over the New York Times. It did energize. Look, we were looking at a reintroduction of the same two guys who fought last time. And nobody wanted to see another Ali Frazier bout. And so was it the right decision? We'll find out after November 2nd. But I guarantee you, even if she wins, they're not going to accept it on the other side. Right. And that's going to be a problem. But the energy that I saw at the Democratic National Convention, I've covered every single one of those since 84. And I can tell you, I've never seen that kind of energy. And when the Democrats are that energized and that unified, watch out, Republicans. Everyone said it in 2016 that it was Hillary's fault because she didn't travel around at the last, or that was the surprise, the Comey surprise. No, coming out of Philadelphia, the Bernie bros were going to vote for Trump or not vote at all. They came out of there fractionalized and it killed them. This time, I've never seen this type of energy. We'll see if it translates.
Brian Karam, columnist at salon.com. Last minute here, Brian. They pulled out Barack Obama, man, came to Pennsylvania yesterday. Sounds like they're pulling out the big guns the last few weeks. What do you think needs to be done for Kamala to get over the top?
Be out there as often as possible. Don't sit at home and watch it on TV. Get out and interact with voters and the press. I'd still like to see her in a press conference. That's the best training for dealing with adversity from, you know, your opponents. But barring that, just get out there as often as possible because people need to see her. People need to see the ticket. And people need to understand what's at stake. It is not, folks, a race against Harris and Trump. It's a race against democracy and fascism. Don't trust me. Don't believe me. Read Project 2025 and vote, because your life does depend on it. The Supreme Court killed democracy this year by ruling that you could have a president who has unlimited immunity for official acts that only they can decide is official. That's a star chamber. Our democracy is dead. If you want to revive it, then for the love of God, read Project 2025 and vote.
Brian Karam, columnist at salon.com. Thanks for coming around, man. Pleasure to meet you. Good luck. Hope to talk to you too. Rock and roll, baby. Rock and roll. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. One last segment, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police? Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza! Jinx!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day, of the week. Can you believe it, man? Time is flying by. 855-752-4842. Thank you, Brian Karam, current columnist over at Salon.com, former White House correspondent for Playboy. Man, he's got some stories. He is a character. I will make an effort to get this guy back again. We were talking in the break, like, man, we can't wait for this election to be over, folks. It's getting there. We're getting there. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Get everyone that you know to go vote for Harris. Let's save our democracy, because the other guy, apparently he's not too much. One of his generals, what was it, Milley? One of the guys came out and said, Donald Trump's a fascist. He's a danger. I mean, if everyone that used to work for you, and especially like your national security advisor comes out, you know, 3 weeks before the election and says, don't vote for the fascists. I mean, say what you want about the military industrial complex, but you know, that's the guy in the know. You know what I'm saying? This isn't me on the radio telling you what I heard Trump say or giving you my impression of Donald Trump. I mean, these are his own people. So once again, thank you, Brian Karam. And thank you, folks. I knew a lot of you folks were enjoying that conversation. Bruce on the YouTube said, love this guy. MC5, yeah, Steve's down for that. And I got some love for the Tigers and the Lions. Annie Watertown says, yeah, Brian was great. He was an interesting cat for sure. 855-752-4842. Let's get a couple callers in. Wisco Paul, you're up. Happy Friday, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, happy Friday to you, Don. Nice show today. You know,
thanks, man.
For me, it goes back, and it's got to be 8 years ago when Trump mocked a disabled person on stage, and as far as I'm concerned, it's been downhill ever since. I didn't think, yeah. I don't know how he survived that, but, and then I was driving around the country here in this election cycle, you know, I seen the F. Biden signs, and I go, I mean, that's pretty low, you know. You could, but yesterday, I seen a sign down that said, "Even my dog hates Harris." And I thought to myself, how low can we go? There is no bottom here. So, yes, I cannot wait for this election cycle to be over with. And God forbid, Dom, if we get four more years of this. I know, man. So, anyway, happy Friday. Even my dog hates Harris. Oh, boy. Okay. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Thank you, Polly. You too as well. Have a great weekend, my friend. 855-752-4842. You know, and there is that kind of sentiment on the other side. I'm sure there's some folks out there that think, yeah, my dog hates Trump too. So you can't take it all too seriously, but I do take seriously. I talked about this retired U.S. Army General Mark Milley. I referenced that just a couple of minutes ago, and here's the Axios, just a brief conversation about this. Said former President Trump is a fascist to the core. Again, this is coming out of Bob Woodward's book, War, and we've read some quotes from that book this week as well. Now, Milley, who Trump nominated to be the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, previously made criticisms of the president, and he has been criticized by the far right. A never-sent draft resignation letter by Milley said Trump was, quote, doing great and irreparable harm to the U.S. in 2020, after police used tear gas and batons to clear protesters and journalists out of the then president's way for a photo op. You know, that's when Trump went to the burned church and held a Bible upside down, just like the Antichrist said he would. You know what I'm saying here? Evangelicals. That's what I meant. Come on, Trump can't even get through a sentence. Anyway, the guy's a Joint Chiefs of Staff, man, calling Trump a fascist. That should concern everybody. Cam from Appleton, you are next. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us? Hello, Cam. What happened to Cam? We got Cam? Going once, going twice. There is no more Cam. Give us a call back, Cam, 855-752-4842. What were some of the other headlines had to get to for today? Barack Obama, I got to play a little bit of this. I know we only got like 2 minutes left, but let's hear a little bit of Barack out on the stump for Harris Cut One, please.
We don't need four more years of arrogance and bumbling and bluster and division. America's ready to turn the page.
Oh, yes, I am. Preach it, brother. Cut two, please.
It's times like this when you realize having honest, competent leadership in government really matters.
Yeah, it does, especially during a natural disaster. And what is Trump saying? Well, he's lying to everybody. He's lying to everybody about everything. And one of the questions I wanted to get to with Brian that I didn't was, you know, he's been covering White Houses since Reagan, right? He hears the stories. Really love to know his thoughts and comparisons about how, you know, the lies are now versus what they were like back then. A little bit more from the former President Barack Obama, cut three.
We are ready for a better story, one that helps us work together instead of turning against each other.
All this hope and change. Come on. Who wants to buy that? Who wants hope and joy? Not Trump. When's the last time you actually saw that guy smile? Let's hear a little more from the former president, cut four.
Together, we have a chance to choose a new generation of leadership in this country and start building a better and stronger and fairer and more hopeful America.
All right, let's sneak in. Cut six.
That's how much diapers cost. I remember changing diapers. You think Donald Trump ever changed a diaper?
And then someone from the crowd yelled, maybe his own. Folks, thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you to James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays, 9 to 11. Stick around. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba coming up next. Thank
you. Former President Trump.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by Will Ragland, Center for American Progress Action Fund's Vice President of Research. We're going to talk about Trump's failed record on manufacturing. Don't miss
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.